I'm actually excited for this morning for myself. It's not often, well, it is, it's not often. It is actually most of the time. But this specifically is something that I feel is, I don't care what you take in today almost. Because I know the Lord has been speaking to me in this thing. And so this is actually not one of those things where I come to preach to you. I'm actually sharing what the Lord is preaching to me at the moment. And there's something in me that realized that I desperately need this to become a part of me in order for me to be able to walk out what the Lord has for me in this season and in the season to come. And so when I say I don't care what you take in, it's almost like it's not that I don't care, I do care. But it is almost that thing that I say, this is for me. And I want to share it with you if you want to grab hold of it with me and journey with me through what I'm learning at the moment in the Lord. So let's just pray together. Father God, we come to you. And I really pray, this is your word. This is your scriptures that we're going to go through. This is even your values that we're talking about. This is not Willem's values or Josh Jen's values. And my prayer is this morning, Lord, that you will have the ability to bring revelation on this area. That it won't even depend on my ability to preach it this morning, but it will be dependent on how well you preach it in the hearts of people this morning, Lord. Because I know the necessity of this topic. I know the urgency of this topic on your heart this morning, Lord. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just bring it to us in the way that you have done it every time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I had an amazing PowerPoint. I can say it now because you won't see it. So I can just say it's the best PowerPoint ever. I've never had a more impressive PowerPoint presentation ever in the whole wide world. Yeah, yeah.
You can imagine it.
Yes, thanks. No, really, I had a PowerPoint. There was this little picture I can show to you from here. It's this picture of the steps to salvation. And it starts at the bottom step and then it goes all the way to the top. So it symbolizes, it's not really how it physically works every single time. It's a journey. But it symbolizes how we come to Jesus for the first time through faith. Faith is the thing that brings us to Jesus in the first place. So someone shares the gospel with us, we hear the gospel from somewhere, Jesus comes to us like Peter in a dream, which is absolutely supernatural. I'm so jealous of that. I wanted him to come to me in a dream. So Jesus comes to us in different ways. We hear his voice in different ways. He's calling on our lives. And then through sheer faith, believing what I'm hearing, I get to step closer to Jesus. And that brings me to Jesus. And then when I give my heart to him, when I give my life to him, something powerfully happens that the Holy Spirit comes and he brings salvation. He makes me new. The Bible says there's a rebirth that happens. My old self dies and a new Willem raises from the dead where there was nothing. Now suddenly my spirit is alive to Christ. That happens when I repent of my sins and I give my life to Jesus. But the thing that brings me to that place is faith. I must believe that Jesus said who he is, he said. If I don't believe that, there's nothing to believe in. You agree with me? So faith is the thing that brings me to that place. And the thing is, the Bible, there's a scripture, I want to read it with you. I can't hear it now, to begin song with my stand should be a drive on a dog help. Hebrews 11 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. If we don't believe that he exists, if we don't believe that he died on a cross, that he was actually here, he's not just a figure of imagination, he's not just something that we imagine, but that he actually, these things happen. If we don't believe that in our hearts, the gospel will be ineffective. What Jesus did will be ineffective. I have to believe it. It's the beginning of everything. Believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so faith brings me to Christ. And then there's this picture, and I wanted to show you guys that, but I'm not able to do that. Is faith brings us to Jesus in the first place. But the thing that will eventually, because now Peter or Paul and the whole Bible talks about me running a race. So I start off in my race with faith. But the thing that is going to drag me, that is going to carry me throughout my race, throughout this journey, is the journey towards faithfulness. That is that is the thing that is basically going to keep me grounded, that is going to keep me in Jesus, that is going to keep me in His palm of His hand, is faithfulness. So faith is this thing that brings me here, but faithfulness is the thing that brings me to the end. Without faithfulness, we will not reach the end. And the Bible says that, and we're going to go through some scriptures a little bit later, but I just want to make the point. It's almost like Peter. You remember that story of Peter that walked on the water? Now Peter walked on the water. Jesus invited him, very much like He invites every person that's lost. He will say, listen, come. I'm calling you. Mark, come. I'm calling you. And it was faith that helped Peter step out of the boat and onto the water. And suddenly he was like, ugh. But the thing is, his faith waned. I think it's the right word, waned. Is there such a word?
Yeah.
Quained.
Waned, yeah.
Yeah. It went down the minute that he looked around him. Suddenly he started looking around him. And the problem is that the minute that his faith started to subside, started to retract, he didn't have the faithfulness to go in all the way, to help him go all the way towards Jesus, to walk all the way till the end, to finish his race in a way. It was faithfulness that would have, and it's an interesting word, faithful. It's being full of faith all of the way. That's the thing that's going to keep us and basically guard us till the end of our race. And that's the picture that Jesus, and I think that was Jesus' plan. Jesus wanted to teach Peter in that moment that you need to be faithful till the end and not wane away. Quain. So, ek wil gou vinnig die definisie van faithfulness. Wat is dit in Afrikaans? Getrouheid. Nee? Getrouheid. Die definisie in Afrikaans, die woord getrou is in die verklaarde woord beteken standvastig. Dit beteken onveranderlik. Dit beteken onveranderlik in geneentheid. Wat iemand altyd bystaan, baie interessant vir my, stiptelik volgens afspraak, noukeurig en presies. Dis wat dit beteken om getrou te wees. English, to be faithful means to be reliable. It means to be steadfast. It means to be unwavering. And it is an attribute, it is a value that we often look at in church as well, where we almost see a lot of young Christians coming to Jesus in faith. And man, they're as excited. Oh, I've just had and read my Bible and I want to learn more and I'm at every event. And then after a few months, you know, you started seeing that little fire almost, you know, getting a little bit more silent. And for Piet gesien, Piet is hier vanoggend in die kerk nie. Ja, I don't know, I'll have to follow up. And it's And often you would see, especially with young Christians, that they're starting to quail often. And that's where Jesus has this amazing way of walking with us and journeying with us. If we remain in Him, that there is a condition to that. If we remain, and we looked at that 2 weeks ago, where we talked about keeping in step with the Spirit and how important it is to keep in step with the Spirit. Because it is when we are in Christ and we are in keeping in step with His Spirit and His Spirit actually leading us, that He leads us into more of Him. It's where He takes us from a place where it is just faith, where He takes us and He grows us. He prunes us, He disciplines us into a place of being faithful. And so faithfulness is something that we associate often, in my own thinking about it, I would associate it often with people that've been in the faith for quite a while, that has had a bit of a journey with the Lord. And so whenever you speak to people that's been serving the Lord for a while, I'm talking about a few years and that type of thing, not per se, it's really real, I'm just trying to make a point here. You will hear many stories of people of the faithfulness of God. They testify of the faithfulness of God. So, I know we've had that in community groups where we say, listen, we're gonna share some testimonies tonight in community group. And then the idea is that all 15 people get an opportunity to share some testimonies. And what often happens is we only get to the fourth person and then 3 hours is finished. And I promise you, when I'm going to give you guys, even if I prepared you in advance, and I said, listen guys, today we're going to have a testimony Sunday. I promise you we're just going to get to 4 or 5 people and then the 2 hours will be finished. Because that's how God works with us. He journeys this thing out with us. And it is His faithfulness. It is keeping in step with Him. It is doing this life with Him that brings and nurtures and grows faithfulness inside of us. Because you know, it is not something that actually comes of us. It is actually something that comes of the Holy Spirit. The Galatians 5 verse 22 says this. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of Chris. It's not a fruit of Andrew. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit that comes from Him. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and then faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I know that the minute that we say of these things, we said that as well 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, immediately when we say these things, an expectation is there's an expectation of the Bible. It looks at a Christian, it looks at a follower of Christ and says, listen, the Bible expects you to be faithful. And there's two ways to then what we respond. The first way that we respond is ek moet my sokkies optrek. Ooh, jette, ek moet hierdie ding beter doen. I need to do better at this. I'm not doing this thing well. And we get as almost the self-reliance that kicks in. You say, I need to do this better. And what we said 2 weeks ago is that there's a better way to do that. That you can pull up your socks, and I promise you it's gonna have short-term value in it. I've many times there was opportunities where I realized something and then I pull up my socks and then it goes well for a while. But the thing that I've learned in my own life, if it is not of Jesus that birthed it in me, if He wasn't the source that regrew this thing in me through various ways in which He does that, sometimes with trials, sometimes with tribulation, sometimes through heartache, sometimes through banging my head on the same thing 40 times, sometimes miraculously, sometimes through a deliverance, through prayer, through a breakthrough, He comes and He works something in me. But if He doesn't do that in me, if it just relies on me to pull up my socks and do better, I promise you it won't last. It won't last. And I think there's a posture that the Lord wants to work in us, and that's why I feel for the past few weeks that Jesus wants to work a different posture in us as a congregation. To move away from this thing, I need to do better. And to say, Lord Jesus, You need to do better in me. And a reliance to say, Lord Jesus, not as much as I need to, but I need You to. Do you see the small difference? Not I need to, but I need You to. Still in me, still through me, but it's Him, not me. And for Him to work a work that's lasting. Because that's going to be the thing. And that's also the thing that it doesn't put an expectation on you. Because that's when the pressure comes. And sometimes it's a pressure that brings condemnation. Because now you fail 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 times and suddenly I feel I will never be able to do that because my eyes, my focus was so much on myself. And there is going to be a part that we play. So I'm going to bring balance to that just now. We're also not in a position where we just sit back and say, okay, Lord, come and do the work in me. I can do what I want. I can just go on. Lord, Jesus is going to do everything for me. That's also not what we're saying. That's also not what we're saying. But God needs to be the source of faithfulness. So when we talk about faithfulness or any other value for that matter, Jesus needs to be our source. We need to recognize Him as the one that is actually it. He's it. And the Bible is full of that. I had this also on my PowerPoint presentation, the one that was out of this world, of scriptures. And this is just a portion of scriptures. There's many more that talks about God's faithfulness. He being faithful. And I love the way that the Bible talks about it. It says it not just as an attribute, but the same way, you know that scripture that says God doesn't love, God is love? It's actually who He is. The Bible talks about the same way about faithfulness. God just, not just, He is faithful. But God is faithfulness. He's the root. He's the source. He's the existence of that. And that to me is something that the Bible testifies about God's faithfulness. And when you read these scriptures, it's not just the Bible trying to teach us something. It's not just scripture that says, listen, I want to teach you about the character of God. A lot of these scriptures, the Psalms, David writes from, this is actually a testimony. I promise you, when David wrote these things, let me just read to you here. Listen to what David says. O Lord of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. He says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 119. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. Corinthians, this is Paul speaking. He says, God is faithful. God is faithful. Now, when they write this, is it just they want to teach us something about God? They testify here. They say, listen, I was in prison. David says, I was in front of a lion. He was about to rip me to shreds. And in that moment, God stepped in. And he saved me from this thing that was trying to tear me to shreds. Paul have many stories that he can tell of where he was in so much trouble. I'm going to do that one day when we get to heaven. I'm going to sit with some of those guys and say, listen, just tell me some of the stories that was not in the Bible. There's this, is it Francine Rivers that writes these books, novels about some of the experiences. It's fiction, but based on truth. And so there's this one book that I read about the apostles, the early church. And it was captivating. And it wasn't in the Bible, those specific stories. It's fictional. But it's still, I can only imagine that was the way that it was. Remember what happened is every now and then when the apostles will preach the word of Jesus, there will become persecution. And we read the word persecution, it's a word to us. For us, it's just a word. For them, it was a living, daily thing, persecution. And the way that persecution walked itself out is they were hiding, and Francine Rivers writes it in this way. They were looking. There's two guards there. We need to get to that house because I need to go and preach there. So I don't know how we're going to do that. And then Peter comes and he says, listen, I know a way. Let's go across there. And then they start sneaking around in the town. And they would see two guards. And now again, it seems exciting to us. Who's ever been fearing for their life? Who's ever played tuk-tuki? When we were younger. Now, tuk-tuki was all fun when we were clapping and it's fun, it's exciting. But that one adult that comes looking for you. We had this one evening, it was pure like a tuk-tuki, man was just nearly cut things, everything's exciting, we were hiding in the bushes. And the oom come and say some bok and I come out. And he starts walking around. We're hiding in the bushes. I'm telling you, I was terrified. My heart was going boom, 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 boom. If hierdie oom was nou vang, gaan ek daai som boek doen. I knew it. And so whenever we read something of the Bible and saying, listen, and these guys weren't scared of being hit by a sambok. All of the apostles, all of the, well, except two of them, were brutally killed for preaching the gospel. All of them. So not one of them was actually coming from a place where there's just excitement and adventure. They were fearing for their lives. They were fearing for their lives. So whenever Paul writes to say, God, you are so faithful. I promise you, behind that statement is many situations where he was fearing for his life. And Jesus stepped into that situation. And plucked him out of the situation. And I promise you, with us this morning, there's going to be many such testimonies coming up of God's faithfulness. I've shared this a few times. I'll never forget. We were praying for someone, I won't mention the name, We were praying for someone, and there was a deliverance. And we hit a wall. And there was a manifestation that happened, and it was just, we weren't getting through. And in myself, I was getting a bit panicky because this was weird. It was not supposed the way, you know, normally it's like we cast out the demon and the demon goes. But it wasn't lacking in that moment. And I was fearing. Fear crept into my heart when we went there. And I'll never forget that. It was probably the experience of my life that Jesus was never as real as he was in that moment. I remember I was standing behind the person, and there was just this thing in me, because we were doing everything that we knew how to do. We were following the book of this deliverance, but nothing was happening. And the manifestations just was getting more and more, you know, almost like extreme. And it was like we're losing hold of the situation. And I was standing behind that person, and I was just saying, Jesus, we need you now. We need you now. And I'll never forget that. It was almost as if there was a physical presence of Jesus walking in next to me. And I knew exactly the moment when Jesus touched that person and he ripped that thing out of her. I'll never forget that. And everybody just knew something just happened. Because Jesus is faithful. Jesus is so faithful. Do you realize that if there's one sin, if there's just one unforgiven sin, then we won't go to him. Just one unforgiven sin. We'll put a blemish. If there's one area in my life that is not covered by the blood of Jesus, it's tickets for him. But Jesus says that he is so faithful. Jesus is so faithful that his blood covers everything when I'm in him and him in me. And so there's many more scriptures. I'm not going to go through all of them. There is a condition though. Jesus says this, and this is what we said 2 weeks ago, keeping in step with the Spirit, and why it's so important for us to keep in step with the Spirit. And we remember what we said, what does it mean to be in step with the Spirit? It means to step, to walk in cadence. It's where, Stefan, can you stop off along with me? Chris, can you stop off along with me? When we're walking in cadence, it's like walking together. So we're going to be walking in cadence now. You know, so everybody's just walking in cadence, you know. And so, you know, everyone is just basically doing their own thing. That's not walking in cadence. And that's what often happens when we pull away and when we get to know Christ and we start this journey with Jesus. We will start walking and we listen to a preacher. We hear the preacher, but at some point we start going sideways. And oh, last year this one, trying to catch up. Or we're living outside of God's design. God's design is so clear in the Bible, where he has placed us in a body of believers, where we should not be walking alone, where we should never be dependent on ourselves and on our own understanding, but where we have leadership that's over us and covering over us, where we've got the protection of God's people that is with us, that when Chris is off, he's got his partner in common. I will be that headman, and they'll be like, what's wrong? Can I pray for you? That's God's design for our lives. And the minute that we step away from that, it's when we get diverted into. So when we're walking in cadence, what we saw last week is, cadence is different. Cadence is that thing where, if I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm the drill master, I'm the drill sergeant, I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm directing, I'm giving you the direction. And each individual, as they are walking, and we can put 10 people here, that's the video that we showed last week, but they are not walking on their own. They are not dependent on their own direction, sense of direction. They're dependent on my voice as the Holy Spirit. And so what I will do is I will keep on looking at me, and I will keep on looking at them, and as together we will say, okay guys, we're going to walk forward now. So we're going to do it. We've got 1, 2, 3, let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. And that's what cadence is. And so they keep on their eyes on me, and then through that, we've got the ability to walk together. And the amazing thing is, if we do this in a big group, and that's what we saw, if you see that you're a bit out of sync, you know, and that's like me, I'm always out of sync. I've always, when we did the Macarena, you know, hey, Macarena, what was that thing that we did? I always was the one, so I always had to look at someone. Hey, I'm behind. And when I find myself again, I'm back on par with the rest. And that's what happens when you walk in a church family, in a body, that sometimes I'm out of sync. And then I've got someone next to me, and I'm back with it again. And then we're walking together. That's God's design for our life.
Well done,
guys. That is what it means to be in step with the Spirit. And it is the same with faithfulness. It's the same with faithfulness. There's a dependency on the Holy Spirit, firstly, to walk in me. But then there's also a walking together of faithfulness with one another, that we can help one another and assist one another. Now, why is it important? Why do we need to talk about faithfulness? Why is this a topic that is on God's heart for now? As I was preparing, and I was actually not just preparing this week, it's actually a topic that the Lord has been speaking to me for probably more than 3 weeks or more. And it's something that He's been speaking into our lives a lot. But as I was preparing specifically this week, and I was looking at some of the scriptures and the way that God is talking about faithfulness, it was a fear of the Lord hit me about midway this week. And I realized, oh my word, if we don't get this, if we don't firstly understand the importance of faithfulness, it's actually, when you look at what scripture says, it's actually a case of life and death for us spiritually. It's a case of spiritual life and death for us. This could make or break my eternity if I don't allow the Holy Spirit to work this thing in me. And there was something of the fear of the Lord that hit me. I realized that this is not just a topic. This is not just something that the Lord says, listen, when you can, try your best. It's actually the Lord saying, guys, this is important that you get this. This is the thing that is going to help you start in faith, but walk it out in faithfulness. It's going to be the thing that keeps you running till the end. That's going to keep you safe until the end. Look at what Scripture says. Look at what Scripture, Revelations 2. This is Revelation that speaks about the end. He says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Because that is often what takes our faith away, isn't it? Peter, walking on the water, we start in faith. Easy, it's exciting. We're enthusiastic about it. And when we start, hey, I'm walking on the water, I've got faith for this thing. But then the writer, John, writes in Revelation, he said, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Because the problem is, when suffering comes, when the challenges come, when the mountains come, when it becomes a little bit more difficult to walk on the water, then suddenly faith is not enough. Faith starts pulling back in me. And then it is that thing that God, that steadfastness that God works in me, that regardless of suffering, regardless of fear that grips me, it is then steadfastness that helps me walk forward on the water in faithfulness. And so he says this, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil would put some of you in prison to test you. How often are we being tested in our faith? Tested in our faith. What does it mean today? Tested in our faith. Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be faithful? And you will suffer persecution for 10 days. And then he says this, be faithful, even to the point of death. This is the urgency that John writes with. He says, guys, please, don't be afraid. Be faithful, even if it costs you your life. And then listen to this. And I will give you life as the victor's crown. So he says here, don't be afraid to even lose your life in your process of being faithful, in your process of being steadfast. Even if it takes your life, I promise you I'm going to give you life instead, real life, eternal life. I'll swap it with you. Your temporary life for eternal life, if you're going to be steadfast in this thing. And he says this is a serious matter. Matthew 22. What do we need to be faithful to? There's three things, and I'm just going to name these three things, and then we're going to close off this morning. Three things that we need to be faithful to. Jesus says this, that one of the Pharisees came to him and says, what is the most important laws? What's the belangrijkste goed for God? And it's still, I mean, it was the law of Moses, but it still remains true. You go to the Lord now and say, Lord, what is the most important thing to you? If you had a law, if you had a list of to-dos for us, what would be on top of those two lists, of that list? Then God would have said this, Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. So what do I need to be faithful to? God. Firstly, that's the most important thing. Be faithful to God. The second thing, where he says, the second if to, and he says, the second and like it. So it almost says, it's almost the same to you. To God, it's almost on the same par. It's just as important. He says this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So who do I need to be faithful to? God and people. And there's different people. There's people, but my neighbor is different people. It's the people that's in this family that God has placed me to. I need to be faithful to you guys. Second one is to be faithful to my neighbor that's across the road that doesn't know Jesus, that needs to hear Jesus, need to hear about him. The world. Are we being faithful to them? Not because I have to, but as a response to Jesus' faithfulness to me. If Jesus wasn't faithful to me, I would not be saved. And so there is something that I realize and say, yo, Jesus did everything for me. The least I can do is respond to that and say, Jesus, I want to just at least share what I found. And that brings faithfulness and a response to what he did. And so we can be faithful to one another when we get together. And this is ironic now. I've got it in my notes, so I'm going to stick to my notes. Paul says in the Bible, he says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Do not neglect it. Why? Why should we not neglect it? How can I be faithful in your life if I'm not with you? Often, my faithfulness is displayed because what happens when we get together, when there's need amongst us, when someone needs to be encouraged, when someone needs to be prayed for, Jesus doesn't just automatically do it. He uses you and me in the life of those around us. We are his hands and feet. The Bible says that's why we his body. That's why we call Jesus his body, because we are his hands and feet. And so whenever Jesus wants to do something here, or on a Wednesday, or when we gather for a bride, whenever we gather, not just on a Sunday morning, whenever we gather, Jesus wants to use me to be faithful in your life. And so whenever we have a conversation, am I being faithful in your life if when we have a conversation? Hey Chris, het jy gehoor van Mark? Hey, bro. Die was seriously van die pak. Ek het hem nou daar gekry, het so gestink na bank as het die snaaks hier. Am I being faithful when I skinner? When I talk about people? Am I being faithful when we get together? But I cannot be faithful. And so Paul says, do not neglect. Because I promise you, someone is going to need you to be at your place, to be at your God in that point in time. When we don't gather, are we faithful to one another when we don't gather together? Are you being faithful to your brothers and sisters in your quiet time? Wanneer is die laaste keer wanneer jy vir iemand gebid het in die kerk? That's being faithful. It's about coming onto your knees and not praying just for yourself, but from time to time saying, Lord Jesus, I know that Stefan is going through a tough time. I just pray for him as a family, Lord. I pray that you will just guard them, keep them. And often what happens from that prayer, praying for them, the Lord says, send him a message. And you send him an encouraging WhatsApp message. Hey man, just thinking of you. And suddenly God lifts that person through you. And so we need to be faithful to one another. Then the last thing, the third thing that I want to just highlight is we need to be faithful to the things that God has called us to. God has called every one of us to something in this life. There's something that God has got specifically for each one of us. Scripture says this, Matthew 25. He's going to say this to us all one day. And he doesn't say, well done, my son, my daughter. He says specifically, listen to this, Matthew 25. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. So just in that talking to us, we realize, hang on, I'm not just a son. I'm not just a child in God's household. There is an aspect of me that's also a servant in God's household. And when he talks to me in that language, that means that he's got some things that he wants me to do. And it's important to him that I remain faithful to those things that he's called me to do. And the seriousness of this matter, and this is the thing, the fear of the Lord that gripped me this week. I said, Lord, don't allow me one day to come and stand in front of you. And you say, but I had so much for you to do. But you never came to me. You never asked me, Lord, what is it that you've got for me? Lord, what is it in your house that you want me to do, in this world that you want me to do? I sat on my hands for way too long. I wasted my time, Lord. I thought I wanted to rest. I thought I wanted to do this. I was prioritizing the wrong things, Lord. I didn't realize. And then I'm standing in front of that. And the fear of the Lord gripped me this week. To say, Lord, I don't want to miss one thing that you've got for me. I might do five things right, but if I don't do everything, I don't want to miss out on one thing, because I want to be your son that stands in front of you and say, well and done, good and faithful servant. Ephesians, I'm not going to read everything, but this is a picture. Just look at the language that the Bible uses. This is a picture of faithfulness. This is a picture that the Bible creates about steadfastness. Listen to this, Ephesians 4. And he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers inside of the body with us. This is the design of God. Why? To equip the saints, to help you and me for what? We read it last week as well. For what? For the works of ministry. Is there things that God wants us to do? Yes. There's things that God wants us to do that we need to be faithful to. So they are there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And for a second thing, walking in cadence, working with one another, for building up the body of Christ. It's amazing. We are here to build up the body of Christ together. Until, and listen to this, this is the picture of faithfulness. Until when? When should we stop? Until all of us attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to this. To mature manhood. Love this picture that the Bible creates or sketches for us. It talks of us until we all come to a place where we're faithful, steadfast. Listen to this. And the measure, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a big expectation, right? To that. And listen to this, verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. To be to a place where we are faithful and steadfast. I love that. I love that. And so those are the three things that I felt the Lord lay on my heart. And this is where I'm going to hand it back to you guys now and say, Lee, spend a moment with the Lord now. Say, Lord Jesus, where are the areas that you are talking to me this morning on faithfulness? Have I been faithful to you? What has my relationship to you been looking like this past 6 months or a year? Am I really in my heart faithful? Is there really a steadfastness in my relationship to you? Am I talking to you daily? Are you talking to me daily? Do I spend time with you? What is my faithfulness? If this was a marriage, what would my marriage to you look like? The second question is, Lord, what is my faithfulness in this body? What is my faithfulness towards my neighbor? When was the last time that I encouraged someone in church? What is my faithfulness looking like in church? Am I there? Am I being steadfast? Am I being, what is that definition? Like I said, I love this sometimes to look at the definition. Is ek standvastig? Onveranderlik? Stiptelik, volgens afspraak, noukeurig, precies. Am I reliable to the people around me? Am I being reliable to the family? Can people rely on me? Can they count on me? Am I that? And ask the Holy Spirit, is that me? And then the last thing, Lord, am I being faithful to what you have called me to? Am I walking in what you've got for me? And then you've got one of two responses. Say for instance now, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Say for instance now, there's every one of you has got something that the Lord is highlighting now. And you say, oh, God, there's something. Lord, I feel, and this was me. This week, I had about 10 oh, God, oomlikke. I had about 10 instances where I said, oh, no. Lord, I need faithfulness. Oh, no, Lord, this is not so. Oh, no, Lord. I had a lot of those instances this past while. And then the question is, was what's your response going to be? Because you're going to have one or two responses. Is that going to last us? Is that going to be good? Is that going to be acceptable to God? If we just say, listen, I just need to do better. No. Is it being feeling guilty? Oh. I'm not going to church ever again because I feel so guilty now this morning. Oh, the condemnation, the weight that is on my shoulders this morning because I'm not faithful. Is that the response that God is looking for this morning? The response is this. Ephesians 2. Listen to this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, not a result of pulling up your own socks, so that no one may boast, so that you cannot turn around and say, yeah, I made myself faithful. Ooh, self-discipline is the thing that got me there. That's not going to be it. So that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we should be able to walk in them. It's beautiful. It's all on Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, last scripture. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Sanctify means to change you. Is to take away that parts of us. And sometimes we are faithful, but it's not a pure faithfulness. It's a faithfulness that's a bit mixed up. That's where I was. It's a little bit of God, but a little bit of me, and a little bit of God, and a little bit of me. And God sometimes wants to say, hey, I want to take everything of you out of there, and I want it just to be me. And then He comes and He sanctifies, He purifies the hell. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. And that's the posture that I want us to respond this morning. So if that is you, if this priest this morning, if the sermon, if the scriptures are talking to you this morning, and there's something in you that says, Lord, on this area that you are talking to me, I want to be faithful in this area, Lord. But Lord, I cannot rely on myself. I don't want to say, I need to. I want to say this morning, Lord, I need you to in me. If that is you this morning, just stand with me. We're going to pray together. Just a prayer of surrender and submission to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, this is the opportunity when we get to respond. And the one thing that I've learned personally is that what is almost more important than being here is the way that we walk from here. Because now we've heard this sermon, we've heard your heart on faithfulness. But it is how are we going to walk it out from here that's going to be so super important. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help each one of us that's standing this morning. I know, Holy Spirit, that you have talked to us in this area. And so, Father, the first thing that we want to come to you is we want to just come and repent, Lord. And I want you guys, just those that feel led to do that, just pray with me out loud as you stand here. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I want to repent, Lord. I relied way too much on myself for the fruit of the Spirit. I've been trying to pull up my socks too often. Lord, I pray firstly a prayer of repentance, of self-reliance. And I want to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And then, Lord Jesus, I want to declare my dependency on you this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will take this aspect of faithfulness and make it part of me. Work it in me in the way that you want to in me. I submit. I surrender. I will work with you, Jesus, so that you could work in me. Lord, I pray this morning for just your Holy Spirit to come. Lord, we can respond even in this moment, and we as people have a tendency. We've got this nature that by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, our old self comes back into play. Our old brain pattern, our way of thinking comes back into play. And Lord Jesus, I want to pray for this group of people standing here, but I also want to pray for those that aren't here this morning. I want to pray for us as a congregation, Lord, that we will be a congregation, that we will be a people, sons and daughters of you, that will not be able to boast in ourselves, but will look back and say, wow, the amazing way that the Lord has worked faithfulness in us as a people. Faithfulness towards God, faithfulness towards people, and faithfulness towards what God has called us to. That we might glorify you, Jesus, through our lives, because that's what it's about. It's not that we should look so beautiful. It's not that we will look shiny. Oh, look how beautiful they look with all of their beautiful faithfulness. No, it's so that the Lord may look at us and say, what's different with those people? Why are they so faithful? Why do they give of themselves so much? Why do they deny themselves so much for someone else? For a God that I don't even believe that exists, but they give themselves and they give themselves and they give themselves to the point of death. Why? And that through our testimony of our lives, Jesus might speak to the lost. And that they will see something different in us. And that through that, Jesus might be glorified. And that many souls might be reached through our faithfulness. When we walk into spa, that our love for people will drive us to have a chat with someone in the aisle. That our love for one another will drive us to stay behind in church, have a coffee, to encourage someone, to pray for someone in my quiet time. In Jesus' name. But I pray, Lord, that it will be your work. Not through pressure, but through your Spirit. Not because we have to, but because of your Spirit, your faith. That you can do the work in us, that you can do us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take faith in the story yesterday. Thank you, Ella. There's no coffee and tea, unfortunately, because we've got no power. So you're welcome to stand around, have a conversation or two, and we will probably kick you out. Thank you.